Well, today on the Great Destinations radio show, we're in Auckland, one of my favourite cities in the world. New Zealand's largest has 1.3 million, the same number as the Glasgow area. But New Zealand's roughly the same size as the UK, but there's only 4.5 million people in the whole country, compared to our 64 million. So Auckland really does stand out as the metropolis. As soon as you arrive at Auckland's airport, you realise it's a friendly and relaxed nation. The border and customs staff smile, and they're chatty. The best way into the central business district, that's what they call the city centre, is on this vehicle, the Skybus. They run really frequently. They take about 45 minutes, traffic willing, but it's not cheap. $16 or £8 one way. So your first sight of the city centre might make you glum. There are quite a few ugly 70s and 80s concrete towers dwarfing the Victorian buildings, I suppose just like you'd find in many UK provincial towns. Auckland, though, is all about the shoreline.
For me, it's the water, it's the beaches, the sailing, the fishing just offshore.
Drive across Auckland's Harbour Bridge and you'll see hundreds of yachts. That's why they call it the City of Sails. Now, you can climb the bridge for $125 with a bungee company. And if you are an adrenaline junkie, you can attach yourself to a cord and jump off a bigger city landmark. Everywhere in Auckland, you'll see the Sky Tower. In fact, it's the tallest structure in the Southern Hemisphere. It looks a bit like a giant hypodermic, over 1,000 feet high. It changes colour at night, it goes green. Just like my face, watching these guys from the ground. I chose to experience the city with something a little more sedate. I took a free city walking tour. Now, you just make a donation or a koha, to use the Maori word, afterwards. It was Suzanne Levesque's idea. She enjoyed a similar walk when she was on holiday in Europe.
I started it up with my son Jordan, and we'd actually been on this amazing tour in Berlin.
Over the last two summers, their four guides have led hundreds of visitors around Auckland.
Altogether, 4,000 people.
Guide Craig Nielsen met me and 11 other walkers outside the Grand Edwardian Ferry Terminal in the city.
My name's Craig, and let's go for a walk together for about 2.5 or 3 hours.
Well, we walked for about 5 minutes to Vulcan Lane in the heart of the city. There's a number of old pubs. The Queen's Ferry is one of the oldest. In Victorian times, they used to put drunken sailors in cages there, so they wouldn't miss their morning sailings.
You could trace New Zealand's binge drinking culture to this place.
As we walked, Craig explained the significance of Auckland's statues and memorials.
We're standing in Khartoum Place, and the most notable feature here, centenary memorial of women's suffrage. Does anyone know what was the first country in the world to allow women to vote?
New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand.
As we wandered around the leafy lanes and across parks, or domains as they're known in New Zealand, Craig covered aspects of Maori history and culture.
I'm going to sing you a song called Ngā Iwi E, but I really like it because it says stand together, because alone we may not be powerful, but together we're like drops of water in the Pacific Ocean.
The free city walk also gave me a chance to see some of the beautiful historic buildings that otherwise I wouldn't have seen. Around the university, for example, there's also stunning modern architecture. The art gallery was extended last decade with a 15-metre-high ceiling made from the reclaimed golden-coloured kauri tree wood. It's protected.
These are kauri trees. They get enormous over hundreds and hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years. So, in a way, these kinds of trees can be some of the oldest things in the country.
There's no New Zealand wintertime walks. Find out when they start again at aucklandfreewalkingtours.co.nz. And look out for a new nighttime walk that takes in a wonder of nature.
Visit our glowworm caves, which is pretty exciting.
After 3 hours, we were back where we started, the ferry terminal. I got a $12 or £6 return ticket for the 15-minute run across the harbour to the genteel suburb of Devonport.
All passengers travelling to Devonport, your vessel is approaching.
It's worth taking the ferry ride if only to look back at the impressive Auckland skyline, dominated by the Sky Tower. Rob Thexton of the Devonport Tour Company met disembarking ferry passengers with his bus.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Ready for an hour-long sightsee.
That marks the spot of New Zealand's first and only public execution.
Devonport is lovely, a beautiful shoreline-hugging suburb of Edwardian and Victorian wooden homes, cafes and antique shops. The British built a fort on a steep volcanic hill overlooking the harbour. We drove up the North Head and stepped into the underground passageways, which once contained stores and munitions.
It was all actually carved out by prison labour.
While standing on top of a grassy green volcanic cone, the view across the harbours and of Auckland spreading out below more than justified the $40 bus tour ticket. Most of the city's built on a volcanic field, and worryingly, one of the islands just offshore, Rangitoto, only popped up during Shakespeare's time.
Estimated finish at maybe 550 years, and that forest on it is the first forest on that new land. People are interested in the volcanic nature of it, and particularly once they're up on a hill and they see that they're dotted all around them. We do have a bit of fun with whether the next volcano is going to happen today or not.
In a moment, we're on another tour with a relocated Brit, determined to bring visitors the best in Auckland's food and drink.
You're going to have some of the freshest, most local produce that you might get anywhere else in the world.
That's next on the Great Destinations Radio Show. This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. I'm Kerry Jones and I'm beside the beach in one of Auckland's northern suburbs, Takapuna. Auckland is a city where most international flights into New Zealand lands, but you can also fly to Christchurch on the South Island. You'll be in transit from Britain for 24 hours or more, and you'll have to change planes at least once, but you can't break the journey in Hong Kong, Singapore, Bangkok or Dubai, and I would recommend doing that for a few days. The cheapest return from London we found was £535. That meant making the long journey straight through. The most popular time of the year is December to February, when it's the British winter, and temperatures in New Zealand are lovely, like a British summer day. In fact, if you imagine the UK upside down, as you go further south, it gets cooler, so the bottom of the South Island is a bit like Scotland. Auckland, in the middle of the North Island, has similar latitudes in Northern Hemisphere terms to Malaga or Monterey in California, but it's a bit cooler because of the Pacific Ocean's effect. Kiwis take their food seriously. Turn on telly, you'll always find a cooking show on.
New Zealand's MasterChef.
This is My Kitchen Rules New Zealand.
Hertfordshire-born Ellie Armand-Jones's company, The Big Foodie, guides you around the gastronomic treats with full or half-day food or beer tastings in the city or the suburbs.
We show New Zealand off through your taste buds.
Ellie arranges tasting menus for parties of 2 to 12. We went sampling food around Takapuna.
150 metres behind us, we've got one of the most beautiful beaches in the city. To be able to come over here and have a swim during the day and go and get some lunch or get some dinner is absolutely fabulous.
Where do you take people?
So we start with a cafe called The Chocolate Drop, which is actually owned by a Brit, and it's just beautiful chocolate. We go to a little shop that only sells Auckland produce, jams, chutneys, smoked salmon, cheeses that are being produced here, and then we walk around the lake down to another cafe, which is right on the beach, and try some of their award-winning ice cream. We go to an award-winning pizza restaurant started by a guy from Essex. We go to a little place called the Burger Batch, with two guys from the bottom of the South Island came all the way up to Auckland to start their burger company. We try some lamb, and then we finish off at Madam Wu, which is a Josh Emmett restaurant. Josh worked with Gordon Ramsay and was one of the New Zealand MasterChef judges. And his restaurant, Madam Wu, is a Chinese-Malaysian fusion. So a real combo, which is what Takapuna's got, just a real mixture of flavours, cuisines and places to go and explore.
You might be surprised to hear that Kiwi cafes are really competitive over coffee.
That's one thing that's very unknown, is just how good the quality of New Zealand coffee is. It's not grown here, it's all imported. But it started with the Italians post-war, and it's filtered through generations where you now see, you know, teens going out for coffee in the evenings rather than going to the pubs.
Ellie and I sat down to eat in a cafe in a covered alleyway lined with tables and filled with other bars and restaurants. It looked like an old arcade, but just 2 years ago, we'd have been sitting inside a surfboard shop.
That alleyway dining experience is certainly something that's been picked up around the city. It's nice, especially in the city centre, to get a combination of the Victorian arcades into brand new repurposed insides of old buildings.
Ellie also operates a driven tour that visits farmers markets. I took myself to one, to Matakana. It's a really trendy village, 1 hour's drive north of Auckland, really popular with Aucklanders at the weekend. The town hosts a fabulous farmer's market on Saturdays, and a live band provides the soundtrack to your shopping. There's food everywhere, olive oils, breads, baked goods, organic chocolate, coffee roasters, fish.
Have a try, people. Lovely, freshly smoked salmon.
It'll take you at least half an hour to stroll around, and then you can check out the village's craft and antique shops. And if you can convince somebody else to drive, go for a wine tasting. There's around 30 vineyards in the area. So that's Auckland. The city rarely gets a look in when New Zealand's promoted because there's so much else to see in this beautiful country. The South Island is marketed for the mountains and fjords, the landscape you loved on Lord of the Rings. The central North Island has geothermal attractions. People go to Rotorua. But Auckland's got so much to offer. Just don't be put off by first appearances in the centre of the city. Its foodie focus and cafe culture perfectly complements the volcanoes, lakes or mountain landscape that might have encouraged you down to New Zealand in the first place.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.